Well, we're going to start this morning. We're here to honor Betty Ruth Tomforty. And one of the things that she has done so steadfastly and so consistently and so beautifully is every Sunday she has played the piano for the Sunday school. And it has been so appreciated, especially by those of us who are not musicians. And they come in at the last minute as a superintendent and say, "Can you play this hymn?" And her answer was always, "Sure." And she always did it. So I never had to think too far ahead when I wanted to get a hymn because I knew she could do it for us. So some of the Sunday school students want to come down. Some of them had to leave early, so we've only got a few, but we're grateful. It's just a token of our gratitude for all those years of playing the piano for us. Thank you, girls. It was hard for me to know where to begin in talking about Betty Ruth. I think every single member of this church is a diamond, and they do so much for us, and every one of you brings tremendous talents to whatever you do in the church. But I'm thinking of Betty Ruth today as a diamond, and I wanted to talk about at least three facets of her diamondness. When I was trying to think of a way to describe Betty Ruth, the statement from Science and Health, where Mrs. Eddy says, "What we most need is the prayer for fervent desire for growth in grace, expressed in patience, meekness, love, and good deeds." And those are qualities I attribute to Betty Ruth. I've seen those over and over again. I've been here since 84. I've seen it over and over again in any way that she approaches anything that she does, whether she's just counting for the tellers committee or whether she's playing the piano, whatever she's doing, I've seen those things expressed. So just a brief bio of Betty Ruth. I don't have the time to go through the whole thing, but she was born in San Bernardino, California, and she had a sister, Margaret. And then they moved to Long Beach, and she started playing piano at 4. They came to, her family moved to Houston in 1933. And it was in Houston that she met the piano teacher that she said was her inspiration and her mentor. And her name was Ruth Burr. And it was through Ruth Burr that she was mentored and grew in her talents. And she wanted to go to Juilliard right out of high school, but Ruth Burr said, "You're not quite ready." So here comes that patience and that steadfastness. She attended Rice Institute, which is Rice University. And then when her teacher told her she was ready to apply to Juilliard, she auditioned. And the year she auditioned, there were 99 pianists. 19 of them made the cut, Betty Ruth being one of them. And she graduated from Juilliard, and after that, she came back here to Houston. And she met her husband, John, and they were married in 1950. And they have two daughters, Anne and Janice. And she started teaching in 1976 at the Moore School of Music, and she taught there for 32 years. Now, this is the personal side of Betty Ruth. I know she's played all over the world. She's been in symphonies. She's been soloists in symphonies. But the personal side of her for me was, and for all of us who have known Betty Ruth, is her love of her sister and brother-in-law, L.D. and Margaret. and of course her love of John, who she was married to for 60 years. And from my point of view, they had a real partnership. I can remember meeting John, and John said, "Betty Ruth has followed me all over the world and has given me everything I needed to be successful. And she's always been a support to me." And he said, "Now that we've moved to Houston, it's her turn. And I will do whatever it takes to support her." And I always thought that was a pretty nice statement and showed a great commitment to their love for each other. As you know, we just said that she has played in the Sunday school for all of these years. And she's worked on many of our church committees. And the steadfastness, you can always count on Betty Ruth being here for every service, Sunday, Wednesday. Only a few exceptions. And of course, one of her big contributions is that she's served on the music committee along with many of our other members. And she helped to shape a lot of what we've done. And she and Sherry Garrett worked together a lot, and now Sherry has taken over. But all of this has made for some of the really good music and the standard that we have at our church. And it's being maintained, and we're all so very, very grateful for that. And now the third facet I wanted to talk about is really going to be talked about by Chris, who had Betty Ruth as a teacher.
I'm actually going to, I'm going to use the podium here because I have taken notes. You're going to learn a lot about Mrs. Tom Forty as a teacher today. About a month ago, you know, Julie asked me if I would talk about Mrs. Tom Forty as a teacher and maybe play something on the piano for you. So as my fingers warm up again, I'm really thrilled to do this because Mrs. Tom Forty is one of the great teachers. And she's the most kind and generous person I've ever known. And I'm going to try not to cry this whole time because I really love Mrs. T. You're probably wondering what this big chart is all about. Well, when I took lessons from Mrs. Tom Forty, she used to tell me about this teacher she studied with. And so, if I can do this upside down, Mrs. Tom Forty studied with Ruth Burr. I might want to start backwards. This is me and my wife, or my wife and I should say, and our students. And then we studied with Mrs. Tom Forty, who studied with Ruth Burr, who studied with Paul Pichet, who studied with Theodore Lechetisky, who studied with Carl Czerny. And does anyone know who this is? Yep, Beethoven. Is that cool? Mrs. Tom Forty is a fifth-generation student of Beethoven. So I made this chart, and I put this on the wall of my piano studio at home because I want my kids, my students, you know, to have some appreciation of their legacy. And under each picture up here, I describe the influence each teacher had on the next teacher. And I'm not going to take you through every little detail, but I do want to highlight this because it's pretty cool to be a fifth-generation student of Beethoven. So really, to appreciate Mrs. Tom Forty as a great teacher, you do have to know all of the influences in her life. So I'm going to start briefly, and I'll go with Beethoven. Everyone knows Beethoven's a great composer and pianist, but his music was so much more difficult than the composers before him that it forced pianists to get their fingers stronger. And so Beethoven's most famous student was Carl Czerny, who's the next person up there. And he composed hundreds of exercises for himself and his students to improve their technique and to get their fingers stronger in order to play Beethoven's music. So teachers all over the world, even today, including me, use the Czerny exercises for our own students. Czerny was also a famous teacher. His best student was Franz Liszt. Does anyone know Franz Liszt, who's today considered the greatest virtuoso of all time? And I'll bet you he made him do all those Czerny exercises. And I'm sure this is true because it turns out that when Czerny had first heard the young Liszt, he felt that he was musical, but needed to work on his technique. So he came to the right person. The next person on the chart is Theodore Lechetisky, who's equally influenced by Czerny. and also by a student of Chopin who played melodies so beautifully that Leciatisky dedicated the rest of his life to trying to figure out how to produce these beautiful sounds. And so he stopped playing the piano altogether and just worked on exercises in order to train his fingers. And he knew that if you're going to make beautiful sounds, you have to have strong hands. And so he attracted legions of talented students and taught them all how to make this beautiful sound. And this made him one of the most celebrated and successful and influential teachers of the late Romantic period, which is around the early 1900s. Paul Pichet is the next teacher up there, and he studied with Brahms and also Leciatisky. And just a little anecdote, Brahms had his own picture, and he autographed it, and he gave it to Paul Pichet, who gave it to his close student, Ruth Burr, who's next, and who gave it to Ruth Tomvorty. So she has this autographed picture. The turning point in Pichet's life was his meeting with Leciatisky in 1901 in Vienna. Unapproachable as this world-renowned teacher was, in the case of Pichet, Leciatisky reacted differently. He trained him as an assistant, and for 12 years, Pichet had the privilege of observing Leciatisky teaching and absorbing all these musical and technical directions that he gave to pianists at all levels. And through all he had learned from the teacher, his life task became to get a deeper understanding of how the physical body and the mechanical piano work together to create the sound. And if you think about it, the sound is the most important thing you do, right? That's why we listen to CDs. At his wish, his students later published his theories in a book, and they called it The Pianist's Touch, in order to pass down what he had learned. Okay, so now we come to the fun part. This is Ruth Burr, who's next on the chart, with her hands folded. This is Mrs. Tomvorty's own beloved teacher. And trust me, I can hardly have a conversation with Mrs. Tomvorty without her expressing her deep gratitude for Ruth Burr and all she did to change her life. Miss Burr had a deep desire to teach and to teach well. And in fact, she continued teaching until the day before she passed on at the age of 98. At the core of Ruth Burr's teaching is the idea that with strong hands and complete freedom of the body, pianists can make big, beautiful sounds without effort. In 1970, the Houston Chronicle said of Miss Burr that she was essentially, they said, she was the teacher to study with in this part of the United States, and that she developed virtually every important pianist the city has produced in the past 40 years, which was from 1925 to 1970. And after studying with Paul Pichet for 2 years, Miss Burr was very eager to impart what she had learned, but little did she know she was about to get one of the poorest taught students that she would ever teach, the 12-year-old Betty Ruth Robbins. Now, at the age of 4, Betty Ruth was discovered by her parents. I'm not supposed to cry at this part. At the age of 4, Betty Ruth was discovered by her parents playing popular tunes by ear that she heard on the radio, even though she didn't know how to play the piano yet. Recognizing her talent, they started her in piano lessons, and about 8 years later, in 1934, the 12-year-old had been playing such difficult music under the guidance of such incompetent teachers that when Betty Ruth was heard by a school teacher named Miss Oliver, her mother was contacted and told her daughter's playing was in serious trouble and that she needed to go see her sister, Ruth Burr, for help. After hearing the young Betty Ruth, Miss Burr didn't rave over her playing as did others, but informed her mother that she would have to start her completely over, which, of course, devastated the young Betty Ruth. Miss Burr told her mother that Betty Ruth had the smallest, weakest hands and fingers trying to play the piano that she had ever seen, and that her arms were like steel pipes, they were so stiff, and that if she continued playing in this way, she would damage the muscles in her arm beyond repair and have to give up her dream of becoming a pianist. Now, this was during the Great Depression, when funds were very limited, so much so that the family could not afford piano lessons, much less just traveling to the piano lesson. So for several years, actually for 2 years, several times a week, Miss Burr taught Betty Ruth for free, and she'd probably like you to know that her father eventually paid him back and then some. But for those 2 years, she taught her for free because she couldn't wait. Betty Ruth was not allowed to play any pieces, but just exercises to get her hands strong and thereby alleviate all that tension in her arms. As Julie said, after 7 years with Miss Burr, 19-year-old Betty Ruth auditioned at the famous Juilliard School of Music in New York. And as she said, out of the 99 students auditioning that year, only 19 were accepted. And Betty Ruth and Miss Burr were thrilled, you know, that she was one of the 19, and she received a full scholarship. The famous teachers of the Juilliard faculty heard her audition and recognized her exceptional talent and training. And then later on, at one point, a famous French concert pianist, Robert Casadesus, heard Betty Ruth play. He was so impressed by her technical training that she had received that he himself, a famous concert pianist, he sat down with Ruth Burr for a couple of hours and asked her questions to learn more about it. He told Betty Ruth later that this woman, Ruth Burr, was amazing. And it's because of Ruth Burr's intervention that Mrs. Tomforti can play the piano at all today. This profound early experience had truly changed her life and allowed her to perform extensively as a pianist all over the United States. Mrs. Tomforti then made it her life's mission to pass on her legacy and retrain other talented pianists from around the world. Well, I say teach and also retrain other pianists, just as Ruth Burr had done for her. And she did spend 32 years of her career on the piano faculty at University of Houston's Moore School of Music, passing on the legacy of her great teacher to every student she ever taught, and retiring, if I'm correct, only 8 years ago in 2008. Is that right? I think so. That's dedication. Today, Mrs. Tomforti is so profoundly grateful for Miss Burr's training that she continues keeping her hands strong through her exercises, and I hope that you will shake her hand because she will show you how strong her hands are. She likes to remind me on a weekly basis, which is really sweet because it's encouraged me this week to get after my own exercises. Now, finally, I do want to play something, but before I do that, I want to say how Mrs. Tomforti and I met. It was about 20 years, in fact, it wasn't about 20 years ago, it was 20 years ago. I think it might have been January 1996. I was about to finish my bachelor's degree. Mrs. Tomforti knows this story very well. And I wanted to get my master's degree next. And so I looked into a dozen of the top schools in the country. And one by one, I crossed them off my list. I just didn't feel they were right. I'd had many successes with piano, but I still struggled with it. And my prayer was to be in my right place. Shortly after, I was asked to be an usher at a competition. And I heard an amazing young pianist, phenomenal, named Roger Wright, and just had to meet his teacher. When I met her, I remember her being impressed with my long fingers, and I remember finding out that she was from Houston. I must have mentioned that my mother was a student of Martin Hafer, who's a Christian Science practitioner and teacher, or who was, I should say, because the next thing I knew, we realized we were both from Houston, and we were both Christian Scientists. And so we felt at home with each other immediately. And the cool part is, I decided to audition only at the Moore School of Music, and I got a full scholarship. Also, a friend of mine said she had a condo sitting empty in Houston, about 10 minutes from University of Houston, and she rented it to me for $350 a month. And I learned that Ninth Church in Spring, Texas had an immediate need for an organist. And so I had a job. And so before I even left for Houston, I had a full scholarship, had a place to live, I had a job. And this is the part I'm supposed to cry at. Okay, be brave. And the teacher who would change my life. Mrs. Tomforti was the answer to my prayers. She was exactly what I needed. My previous teacher taught me how to make music come to life, but I still needed to understand technique and how to practice more effectively. Like Betty Ruth, I too struggled and needed guidance. Mrs. Tomforti was able to give me all this, and in fact, I can say that she's the only teacher I've ever met, concert pianist or otherwise, and I've played for many, who could clearly explain technique to me. Plus, she was so motherly and generous, and she took me to Luby so many times after our piano lessons. I think she thought I wasn't eating enough, which is true, actually. I was skinnier than I am now. After finishing my doctorate in 2003, I decided to dedicate my teaching to passing on the legacy of my great teacher. And this is why I thought this chart was important for me and for my students to see. In fact, I have a seventh generation student right here, Naomi.
Hello.
And during my doctorate, I met my future wife, Shanta, who came from Malaysia to study with Mrs. Tom Forty as well. Actually, a lot of Singaporeans came from Singapore who were from other parts of Asia to study with Mrs. Tom Forty. I mean, dozens of them. And I know that Mrs. Tom Forty will be grateful to know that in the past 7 years, our students have won the National Federated Music Club State Competition 104 times. To me, this, yeah. I went to you. And to me, this is evidence that these students have, to some degree, made this legacy their own. And for this, I am very grateful. Okay, so now I think my hands have warmed up a little bit. So I'm going to play you a Chopin nocturne. Mrs. T knows this very well. And I won't tell you which. Let's see. Yeah, maybe I should. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and as you can see, we all love her, and if you want to come say hi, please do, and we'll see you soon.